Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah.
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to be any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks. Fuck Pope. Fuck Pope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. Fuck 'em. Fuck 'em. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The shit they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean a fucking thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around. I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year, you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is, when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.
Well, there he is, folks. The Pope of the Church of What's Happening Now. And I'm the Cardinal here of the Church here in Indiana. That's right. And I'll tell you what. There's things I disagree with George Carlin, but not very many, because I'm just as cynical as he is. After you've lived 78 years like I have, you've got every reason to be cynical. You've tried it all. You've experienced it all. Yeah. Good morning. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana. Our P.O. Box is 401 Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you can communicate by letter or send your checks and money orders in here, so I'll be living in the life I deserve. So far, I'm not going to even comment on that. Oh, yeah, don't forget, George Carlin was a chaos man way back on one of his comedy gigs. He was talking about chaos. He loves chaos. Perhaps I'll play you that gig tomorrow, because I always like to keep you people all excited and wondering, what the hell's he gonna say next? Here's one of your wacky stories for today, and you'll love it.
President of Bowling Green State University has assured students that there was not a KKK meeting held on campus after a student took a video and posted it online of what she thought was someone wearing a KKK hooded costume in one of the classrooms when she was walking by outside. Here's the video that was posted on Snapchat with the caption, "I forgot there is an active KKK group here in Bowling Green." The very next day, the school president, Mary Mazie, posted, "We looked into this and we discovered it's a cover on a piece of lab equipment," and tweeted out a photo taken inside the lab showing what looks to be a microscope with a white plastic cover over it. I can't help but think that this is a joke. This might be satire, and the person just decided to post it to mock the social justice warriors, and now we have the school's president responding, and it has made some headlines across the country as well. College student posts picture of Klan rally on campus. Turns out to be lab equipment. Twitter user thinks lab equipment covered with white sheet is a KKK rally. Like I said, I can only hope that this is satire and that this is mocking the lunatic liberals and the social justice warrior scaredy cats. But I'm going through her Twitter feed and it's really hard to tell. The possibility that it could have been one is the actual issue. But you know, some people don't see that, she said in response to it being debunked. She retweeted this person who says, instead of harassing Autumn Patrice, y'all should be glad the video was not true. Wouldn't y'all report something you thought was a danger to you? Going through her recent tweets, I don't see anything that appears to be that this is a satire account. So it's very possible that this is just a, in my opinion, a mentally ill liberal lunatic who saw a piece of lab equipment through the window and thought there was a KKK rally. With the mental illness of liberalism having spread across the country like a plague and causing social justice warriors to seek out safe spaces when people chalk Donald Trump's name on their campus on the sidewalks or think he's channeling Hitler when he says put America first or make America great again. And when celebrities rant and rave about their period and having to pay tax when they buy tampons at women's rights marches, you know something is seriously wrong in society. So I don't know if this woman is joking or not. Maybe I just want to hope that she is, because I can't believe that liberalism has caused this much brain damage in someone. Although I do think that we're going to start seeing a rash of social justice warrior freakout hoax videos. Because so many of us enjoy watching the social justice warrior psychos freak out and have their emotional breakdowns, I can't help but think that some people are going to start staging these in hopes of getting viral videos, or perhaps as performing art pieces to mock these morons, which is what I think is the case with this video of this woman freaking out inside of a coffee shop, just crying about her white privilege and how she wants everything the world has to offer for the black barista. A lot of people think that this is just another social justice warrior freak out, but it really reeks of performance art to me. She's just hitting too many of the liberal talking points, and as she leans in on the counter, she says, "I want you to lean in." And then she starts talking about Sheryl Sandberg, one of the bigwigs over at Facebook, which is the name of her initiative. And it's just a little bit too overly dramatic, and I just can't help but feel that this is a staged performance art piece and possibly a promotional stunt for someone's book. Because the
Well, boys and girls, I've got an apology to make. I'm feeling very bad. I have done the Hollywood KKK a disservice, because judging from all this stuff that's on the internet nowadays, and a microscope covered with a white cover becomes a KKK rally, I think we gotta let these boys go, man. The Hollywood KKK, no matter what they do or no matter how little they do or even if they're involved, the world goes crazy. The whole country goes up. So that adds on to Operation Chaos. So now I'm accepting the fact that the Hollywood Klan does provide a service, and that is chaos. Not that they're doing the chaos, but every time they show their hats, the public goes chaos happy, man. So keep it up there, Hollywood Klan. I apologize. Oh, by the way, in case you haven't guessed, the girl that turned that in as a Klan rally with the microscope with the cover on it was a black lady. What? I'll tell you, they get just as excited and fearful over the Klan today as they did back in the old days. during Reconstruction. Seems like it, doesn't it to you? They try to whistle past the graveyard, but there is actually widespread fear yet among the black people running around this country. I am upset about Trump okaying this Keystone Pipeline, which is a ridiculous situation. It's actually being built to ferry Canadian oil, not American, United States oil, but Canadian oil across our country to the Gulf of Mexico, where it'll be loaded onto tankers and taken to sold to foreign countries. It will have almost nothing to do with the energy problems the United States has. And they say that there'll be thousands and thousands of jobs for this Keystone Pipeline. That's nonsense. It may take a few hundred to get it completed, but from then on, there's only a caretaker force of a couple of hundred on that pipeline, and they won't have it guarded very well. Ultimately, you'll see a spill either naturally or by ISIS or somebody. And so this is a one time that I agree with the engines. I mean the Mongoloids, the Mongols. Yeah, stop that Keystone Pipeline, man. There's a lot of things Trump's going to do that I certainly vehemently disagree with, because that's the kind of guy I am. Well, guess what? Multiple federal agencies have told their employees to cease communications with members of Congress and the press. How about that? They're trying to stop the whistleblowers. That's on Trump's watch. That's not Obama. The freeze has startled aides on the Hill and people at those agencies who worry that it could abruptly upend current operations and stifle work and discussions that routinely take place between branches of government. Officials at the sub-agencies at the Department of Health and Human Services, for example, have been told not to send any correspondence to public officials. According to a memo shared, instead they have been asked to refer questions to agency leadership until the leadership has had time to meet. Interesting. No more blowing the whistles. No more blowing the whistles. Well, 15 people were murdered. Negroes were murdered after terrorists attacked hotel in Somalia's capital. The attackers hit Hotel Daya in Mogadishu with a car bomb and then stormed the building. And these are the people from Somalia that we brought in by the tens of thousands into this country. I remember San Diego has a whole bunch of apartment buildings crammed with Somalians. And they brought them in all over the country. Fort Wayne, Indiana, only 50 miles from me. They got hundreds of Somalias they brought in for no reason other than the State Department of the United States is an absolute enemy of the white race. And in the end, they're the enemy of all the races, to be perfectly honest. So if you're going to do away with anything, do away with the U.S. State Department. Well, I see the Academy Award nominations are out. I'm not going to read them all to you, but they're talking about, and they look at whether diversity improved in this year's nomination. Well, I think it's probably improved about 50%, maybe not quite that much. So if you're going to go to the movies, you're probably going to be looking at black faces more and more, whether you like it or not. And of course, there'll always be heroes. There'll be scientists. There'll be presidents, there'll be senators, there'll be famous actors, and all that kind of stuff. That's what you're going to see, because you won't see a street black person in a movie. There may have been one once in a while, but they're not going to show the black gang criminals killing each other much. I don't think you'll see that. I'm hoping to see it. I'm hoping they'll give credit to the black KKK, man. They deserve lots of credit. I see Paris Jackson. I'm not sure whether that's his sister or his wife. Believes Michael Jackson was murdered. Well, knowing Hollywood, it's entirely possible. But they don't do it with guns in Hollywood. They do it with drugs. Did you see that news report that $20 million in cash hidden in a bed? How about that? $20 million in a bed. That must have been a hard sleep. I don't see how they could have got a very good sleep laying on $20 million in cash. However, just the thought of having $20 million in cash must have overridden the problem with a hard lay. Well, you know, Iceland's one of the safest countries in the world, and probably and definitely because it's 99% white. Proof of the pudding. Proof of the pudding. Here's a little email from a Jew. When I was growing up in New Jersey, my family wasn't particularly engaged in Jewish life. Okay, let's see. We weren't ritually observant, and no one in our house read the Jewish press. But there was one thing I knew for sure, that intermarriage threatened the Jewish community. I don't recall exactly how I knew this. Maybe I heard the disappointment in the voices of the adults in my family when they spoke about my uncle and cousins who had married outside Jewry. Or maybe it was the topic of a high holiday sermon at a Reformed synagogue. Whatever the source, the message was clear. Nonetheless, during my teen years, I mostly dated non-Jewish guys. It's not that I made a conscious decision to defy my parents or my community. I just didn't have many choices. I lived in a mostly non-Jewish town. When I went away to Syracuse University, which had a student body at the time that was 15% to 20% Jewish, my mother assumed I'd find a large pool of Jews to date. Sounds like racism to me, or at least culturalism. Still, while most of my boyfriends were not Jewish, I never envisioned myself actually marrying a non-Jew. I knew in marriage was important to my family, observant or not. I assumed I eventually would marry another Jew. By the time I reached my mid-20s, though, I still had been seriously involved with just a few Jewish guys. So when one of them proposed, I accepted. Given my dating history, I wasn't certain I would get another opportunity to achieve what I perceived as the ultimate milestone, a Jewish marriage. Sounds a little bit like racism to me. What do you think? But it's okay when a Jew does it. Yeah, it's perfectly all right. So what are they, a racial Jew? Or just a religious Jew, or a mixture, or a combination, or no Jew at all, but call themselves Jews. It's a little confusing, isn't it? Fact remain, religious cults confuse society terribly, cause wars and genocide and everything else. But they're still just cults. And you think white people are screwed up? White non-Jews? There's no more screwed up psychological messes in the world than the Jews. Trouble is, they don't keep it to themselves. They try to spread it all over to everybody else. Well, I'm sure glad that one Aryan type is being nominated for the Academy Award. Mel Gibson, Razorback Ridge. That was a good movie. A very good movie. The main thing is it shows what bullshit these wars are, and for the white race to spend its youth and children and everything and its money, and you never win these wars. There is no such thing as winning. The generals and politicians talk about winning. You don't win a war. You may postpone the next one, but it'll be coming. Okay, here's a news flash. I was in contact with the supreme commander of the Hollywood Klan and the supreme commander of the Hollywood Nazis, and I've asked them to operate our paranoia division of Operation Chaos. Because they could serve the purpose very well with what they're doing. Just dropping leaflets around. I was against that and criticized it, but it's working out so well. It's creating such paranoia that we definitely need them as a division of Operation Chaos. Boy, another brainstorm, boys and girls. Hey, we found another hero, boys and girls. Today, January 24th, wait a minute, this is the 25th. Well, yesterday is the birthday of Edith Wharton, the American Gilded Age writer and first woman to win the Pulitzer Prize for fiction, who passed away in 1937. Though she is probably most famous for her portrayal of the New York City elite society, Wharton also wrote about people from diverse social classes in the Berkshires, where her summer mansion still stands as an informative and entertaining beacon to her legacy. I'm biased. I worked there for a summer, this writer says. A close friend of Henry James, Wharton wrote, with similar psychological insight, social critique, and descriptive authority, and also like James, along with many other American writers of the period, Wharton was not particularly known for her tolerance of Jews. In the House of Mirth, the protagonist, Lily Bart, is pursued by a wealthy Jewish financier named Simon Rosedale. Rosedale is described in unflattering terms as a plump, rosy man of the blonde Jewish type, with smart London clothes fitting him like upholstery, and small sidelong eyes, which gave him the air of an appraising people as if they were bric-a-brac. Needless to say, Lily is not interested in this Jew. Apparently, this air of appraising people is just a natural result of his Jewishness. So anyhow, this is the birthday of Lily. Wait a minute. Her book, The House of Mirth. This is the birthday of Edith Wharton, that anti-Semite neo-Nazi that was the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize. Cool. Well, here we go again. TV's Nashville show has explored political corruption, alcoholism, and homosexuals in the country music since hitting the air in 2012. Now the series tackles racism through a new character, Clay, a young African-American street performer with his eye on the main character, Raina James' older teen daughter, Maddie. I assume she's probably white, but I don't know. I never watched this show. In the episode airing at 8 p.m. Thursday, January 26th on CMT, Clay, played by actor Joseph Jojo David Jones. They've got a picture of him. He's one of the ugliest Negroes I've ever seen. Gets into what appears to be a racial altercation. Before that, Clay, in a rant to Maddie, also wonders if race might be an issue in their budding relationship. So she obviously is white. Quote, I think in some instances he does feel maybe some racial tension, David Jones said in an interview last week with the Tennessean. Let me tell you something, that Tennessean's one of the most race-mixing liberal bastard papers in the country. Oh, here it shows a picture of this guy, this Negro with dreadlocks, homely as hell. And he's sitting here with this blonde, beautiful Aryan girl that he's spooning. One of his concerns going forward with Maddie, there is that lingering worry. It's tough as a black person. You're always worried about that coming up, that something bad could happen because I'm this and she's that. David Jones said he himself has been subjected to no overt racism in the city of Nashville. Well, that's a shame on the city of Nashville, where he has lived for several months to work on the show. Everyone here has been unbelievably kind, nice, and race mixing. I haven't met a person here who I felt in any way is a racist. Well, there goes Tennessee, boys and girls. If they don't listen, they're going to have to feel. And feel they will as time goes by. David Jones, though, has been mistaken for a bellboy or a valet driver more than a half dozen times outside the downtown hotel where he is staying. So there is racism lying underneath the skin in Tennessee. It's like, oh, can you bring my bags in for me? And I say, I'm staying here. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, white liberal. Even the other valets wonder if I work here. David Jones added that Nashville cast crew have treated him like family, and they just love race mixing. Well, here's the Boston Soviet. 20 workers gathered in the basement of the Trinity Church, underlined church, in the Copley Square this month for a blunt discussion about racism in their workplace. The question on the table, how does the culture of white supremacy show up in your organization? You see, this is right out of the Soviet book. This is exactly what they used to do to try to expunge anti-communism from communism in Russia. They've just brought it over here and dusted it off and used it in the race brainwashing. Not the Ku Klux Klan, said Rebecca Jackson, a social worker on staff who worked, who helped lead the session. Rather, she said, the subtle habits and values that tend to keep white people comfortable and in charge and people of color in the margins. Well, I'm all for that. I want to keep white people comfortable and in charge. I just don't want them to be all billionaires like the Presidente. Then the group did something even more radical. They separated themselves by race to talk more. White people in one room, people of color in another. Racially segregated meetings to discuss race, sometimes called caucuses, have become a regular practice at the Trinity Boston Brainwashing Church, the nonprofit social service arm of the Trinity Church. Wow. I don't know what to say. So I won't say anything. Well, here we go again. A new report has pointed to serious problems with racism and transphobia in Philadelphia's homosexual village. Well, that's wild. Women, non-whites, and transgender people have felt unwelcome and unsafe in Philadelphia's LGBT neighborhoods for decades, according to a city report issued Monday. Black LGBT people in the city say they have been ID'd at clubs, have to wait for drinks for longer, and have to meet strict dress codes that ban athletic wear, Timberland boots, and hooded sweatshirts. Now, the Philadelphia Commission on Human Relations has suggested neighborhood-wide training is needed to overcome this racial bias among homosexuals. That reminds me of the time when I ran the Klan and I was contacted by white homosexuals from San Francisco, complaining that the Negroes were invading their neighborhoods, and they wanted help from the Klan. I told them to train themselves, arm themselves, and take care of the problem themselves. They had plenty of white homosexuals up that way. It's also recommended venues hire more diverse staff to overcome racism issues felt by many in the area. And of course, you know, the more they do this, the more racism there's going to be. the regressives, or as you call them, the progressives, are doing more to promote our cause than we could possibly do. Anyhow, the article says it comes after the owner of a homosexual bar, Candy, in Philadelphia, made headlines following being caught on camera using racial slurs. Of course, homosexuals use racial slurs. Since the footage of Daryl DiPiano was released, racial tensions in the gay homosexual neighborhoods in Philadelphia have boiled over, and the LGBT residents are calling for action. We want action right now. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney has now spoken out publicly about the community's racism. We don't want those queers to be racist. Oh, man. The mayor said it's maybe not as palpable as it was, but racism is still there in the homosexual community, said the mayor. We need to do everything we can as a government to hold it up, which will promote it even more. Businesses will now need to show best practice ordinance within 30 days of the report and undertake training on implicit bias. Quote, in every movement, change starts from the community, unquote, said Rue Landau, the executive director of the Commission on Human Relations. We want you to know we heard you, thank you, and the time for change is now. Oh. The news comes after Black Lives Matter activists banned LGBT police officers from partaking in Pride Toronto. There have previously been protests in Philadelphia's gayborhood centered around eye candy to draw attention to allegedly racist policies the bar supports. You don't like those niggers. Ernest Owens, editor of the Philadelphia Magazine's G Philly section, has written frequently about racism in the gayborhood, the homosexual area of town, which he said he has also experienced. Quote, when hip-hop songs came on, people slapped my butt or called me hot chocolate. Very quickly, I was reminded that even in that space, no matter the fact that I was a homosexual, I was black, and they didn't like me. Didn't want to associate with my ass. Well, I guess at least a lot of the white homosexuals are not going along with this negrophilia that is a virus, and you got to stomp it out. Negrophilia. Don't forget it. Pass it along. Well, it's time for the Hollywood Klan to start recruiting in their Philadelphia in that homosexual neighborhood because they don't seem to like black people. So there's a perfect area to recruit new members. Well, sometimes I'm astounded by the craziness of the right wing. Former head of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, while he was head of the KKK 30, 40 years ago, has long seen in Donald Trump a champion of his own anti-Semitic white nationalist agenda. And during the 45th president's inauguration, Duke celebrated what he perceived as Trump declaring war on a perceived Jewish agenda. Well, that would have to be Jews declaring war on each other because he's surrounded so tightly by Jews. If he's going to declare war on Jews, it's going to be Jews around him that help him do it. Duke, who commented on the speech on Twitter, used the anti-Semitic shorthand known as echoes to signal the perceived Jewish influence. This is getting very confusing to me, boys and girls. It's hard to keep up with it. The so-called top anti-Semite in the country, allegedly, says that Trump is declaring war on Jews when most of his staff are Jewish. His son-in-law. His daughter. Come on. Oh, man, it's getting confusing out there, boys and girls. Boy, this is going to piss off the boys. Obama transferred $221 million to the Palestinian Authority in his final hours. On his last morning, outgoing President Barack Obama sent more than $200 million to the Palestinian Authority. Nitwit will love him. Black Entertainment Television is promoting a new film, Madiba, M-A-D-I-B-A, another hate white movie. But it does have some truths in it. Remember, the ruling class profited greatly by slavery and programs like that, while the white working class only gained small percentages of that. Now the ruling class is turning the program around and reversing it, which will lead to the percentage of the white working class resisting violently. That's the future. They will have no other choice, during which time they will have to fight the ruling class, plus the growing numbers of so-called minorities, but mainly Negroes. These kind of films always are underlined by the fact that they include the whole white race as being bad and slave owners, when less than 1% of any white people ever owned slaves. Slavery is the most unproductive form of making money, unless the money that is made goes directly into the ruling class coffers, and these are the same kind of people that run the Democrat and Republican Party and so on today. Well, the Black KKK is doing pretty good so far in January in Chicago, outpacing the same period last year. After an extremely violent 2016, the Black KKK this year seems to be on the track to be worse. The number of murders in Chicago in 2017 is outpacing the same period for 2016. In the city's most recent murder, a man found in the back seat of a car late Monday night was shot and killed about 11:30 p.m. Officers found the 20-year-old man in the back seat of a silver car on West Monroe Street. The man had gunshot wounds to the head and the body and was pronounced dead at the scene. No one is in custody. Police said there have been 37 murders in Chicago so far this year. Last year, the city saw 51 murders for all January. Well, they'll probably catch up. Don't forget, we're going to be handing out the Black KKK Member of the Year this month, at the end of the month, depending on how many blacks kill blacks. So the Black KKK Member of the Month will be presented I'm not going to tell you where it's going to be presented. In January, we're seeing a substantial increase from the prior year of 16. I'm very concerned that the trend might continue. We're seeing a significant increase in our penetrating trauma, mostly GSWs, said Dr. Leslie Zun, System Chair for Emergency Medicine at Sinai Health System. That increase has yet to be calculated since the month is not over yet. Dr. Zun hopes the violent trend of the new year will slow down. Come on. We need to do more. We need to look at other ways to reduce the violence in our community, the gun and gun access, Dr. Sun said. Yeah. Take all those guns. You get all those guns and Negroes won't hurt each other. The hospital said in 2015, 28% of its trauma cases were primarily gunshots. In 2016, it rocketed to 42%. Well, the answer is obviously to get every gun you can off the street in the black neighborhoods. Then only the smart, clever gang members will have the guns. and killing will go right on. It never ends, man. Mount Sinai Hospital said it is equipped to handle the high volumes of these cases they are seeing on a daily basis. Police said they will continue to work hard to keep the city safe. Over the weekend, they took dozens of criminals and guns off the streets after a big roundup of 19 illegal guns officers collected. There were 4 rifles, 3 shotguns, and 4 fully loaded magazines. These arrests were targeting the guys who were driving the violence, and those are the ones we've pulled off the streets, said Deputy Chief Tony Rico, CPD Bureau of Organized Crime. Superintendent Eddie Johnson said the department will take a targeted approach on crime in 2017, including the use of specific data the department has been gathering and a new push to develop police community partnerships in Chicago with the Black KKK and the most violent neighborhoods, and increase community engagement. Police said they were looking to lawmakers. Ha! That's a waste of time. To help keep violent offenders locked away longer with harsher sentences. There you go. They're going to solve the problem up there, but not as long as the Black KKK is in business.
A sharp message from President Donald Trump as he promises federal action on Chicago's violence problem.
And we are getting more reaction from the city this morning. Jessica D'Onofrio is live from CPD headquarters. Jess.
Tanya and Terrell, President Trump continues to shine the spotlight on Chicago, focusing on the issue of violence in the city. Now, last night he tweeted, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, up 24% from 2016, I will send in the feds. What exactly he means by send in the feds is unclear. He did not define if he meant sending more agents from the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, or the National Guard. The mayor says the federal government can help, especially when it comes to working on gun control. And just within the last 15 minutes, Chicago's deputy mayor, Andrea Zopp, sat down with Tanya and Terrell to talk about the president's tweets.
We've talked long and hard that policing's not just the sole answer here. And if they are going to have help, certainly federal support and prosecution, but also making sure that we have jobs programs, that we have infrastructure investment to create jobs. Those are the kinds of things that are really going to help on this issue.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson released a statement saying, as the mayor just said a few hours ago, the Chicago Police Department is more than willing to work with the federal government to build on our partnerships with the DOJ, FBI, DEA, and ATF to boost federal prosecution rates for gun crimes in Chicago. Meanwhile, the latest crime statistics from the Chicago Police show that so far this year there have been 38 murders and 182 shootings. Now, this isn't the first time that President Trump has singled out Chicago. He's tweeted about it before. He's talked about it on the campaign trail, but this tweet is the strongest and most direct so far. Reporting live at CPD.
Well, you notice the assistant mayor, a mulatto woman, started out by saying, we don't need more policing. She changed the tune and then said, well, we need more jobs programs. We need more social programs. In other words, give blacks money, not for working, because as long as these guys are making plenty of money with drugs, they're not going to work a regular job. They've got to work for $7 or $8 an hour. Are you kidding? You're dreamers. The commissioner up there in Chicago proposes free homes for city workers in high crime areas. They want the city workers, which are mostly other black people, to move into high crime areas and give them a house. I don't think many of them are going to take them up on that. I remember the last time I took the train up to Chicago to get on a plane, that for miles along those railroad lines, the South Shore, there were abandoned homes. Hundreds of them. You could see them from the railroad tracks, let alone if you got off the train and went out a few more blocks. Now, why are they abandoned? That's a good question. Another part of violence you should keep your eye on is caregivers. There's many violent people being employed as caregivers. I just watched a video of a caregiver beating the hell out of a woman that was 90 years old or 80 some years old, continually slapping her in the head and so forth. So all you people out there that got caregivers helping you out with your parents and grandparents or whatever, you better put a camera up, because that's what exposed this, was a hidden camera. So get a hidden camera, make sure of how your loved ones are treated while you're gone. You can't trust anybody in this society anymore. You got to keep an eye on everybody. Famous last words. Keith Moon, drummer of The Who, was sitting in his apartment with his girlfriend watching a movie. He grew hungry and told her to make him an omelet. When she refused, he said, "If you don't like it, fuck off." He promptly overdosed on clemizole drug and died. He was 32. Truly, last words. Are Spaniards from Spain white? Abstract. Yes, just as you notice, most Spaniards from Spain are white, as per American standards, i.e., have distinctively European features. As to Mexicans, Mexico prides herself in her mestizo identity, meaning Mexico is both European and non-white, and Mongol combinations, which I talk about all the time, but you rarely see it in print like this. You know, I badmouth Ronald Reagan a lot because I knew quite a bit about him, and I knew a lot of people who also knew a lot about him. So George Carlin did a thing on him years ago, and I'm going to play it for you to give you an idea.
In one place, since they took the group photographs of all the criminals and lawbreakers in the Ronald Reagan administration. Yeah. 225 of them so far. 225 different people in the Ronald Reagan administration have either quit, been fired, been arrested, indicted, or convicted of either breaking the law or violating the ethics code. 225 of them. And Edwin Meese alone has been investigated by 3 separate special prosecutors, and there's a 4th one waiting for him in Washington right now. 3 separate special prosecutors have had to look into the activities of the Attorney General, and the Attorney General is the nation's leading law enforcement officer. See, that's what you got to remember. This is the Ronald Reagan administration we're talking about. These are the law and order people. These are the people who are against street crime. They want to put street criminals in jail to make life safer for the business criminals. They're against street crime. Yeah. They're against street crime, providing that street isn't Wall Street. And the Supreme Court decided about a year ago that it's all right to put people in jail now if we just think they're going to commit a crime. It's called preventive detention. All you've got to do now is just think they're going to commit a crime. Well, if we'd have known this shit 7 or 8 years ago, we could have put a bunch of these Republican motherfuckers directly into prison. Put them in the joint where they belong, and we could have saved the money of putting these country club pin-headed assholes on trial. Another thing you got to remember, this is the group of people who were elected with the help of the moral majority. Elected with the help of the moral majority and the Teamsters Union. That's a good combination. Organized religion and organized crime working together to help build a better America. Another thing. Keep in mind, these Reagan people are the ones that were going to get government off our backs. Remember that? That was the rhetoric of the 1980 campaign. We'll get government off your backs and out of your lives. Yeah, but they still want to tell you what magazines you can read, and they still want to tell you what rock lyrics you can listen to, and they still want to force your kids to pray in school, and they still want to tell you what you can say on the radio. The FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, decided all by itself that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the free speech provisions of the First Amendment to the Constitution. I'd like to repeat that because it sounds vaguely important. The FCC, an appointed body, not elected, answerable only to the president, decided on its own that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Why did they decide that? Because they got a letter from a minister in Mississippi. A Reverend Donald Wildman in Mississippi heard something on the radio that he didn't like. Well, Reverend, did anyone ever tell you there are two knobs on the radio? Of course, I'm sure the Reverend isn't that comfortable with anything that has two knobs on it. But hey, Reverend, there are two knobs on the radio. One of them turns the radio off, and the other one changes the station. Imagine that, Reverend. You can actually change the station. It's called freedom of choice, and it's one of the principles this country was founded upon. Look it up in the library, Reverend, if you have any of them left when you finish burning all the books. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I am getting pretty sick and tired of these fucking church people. I have just about had it with these fucking church people, all of them. You know what I say we ought to do with these churches? Tax them. Tax these motherfuckers. If they're so interested in politics and government policy and public policy, let them pay their admission price like everybody else. Tax them. Hey, the Catholic Church alone could wipe out the federal budget deficit if all you did was tax them on their real estate holdings. And speaking of real estate holdings, let's get back to Ronald Reagan and his criminal gang. When last we left them, they were going to get government off our backs. Yeah, but when it comes to abortion, they don't mind government being in a woman's uterus, do they? Yeah, backs are no good, but uterus is okay by them. These people call themselves right-to-lifers. Don't you love that phrase? And don't you love the way these kind of people pervert the English language, right-to-lifers? You realize that most of the right-to-lifers are in favor of the death penalty, and they support the South American death squads, and they're against gun control, and they're against nuclear weapons control. When they say right to life, they're talking about their right to decide which people should live or die. So these right-wingers, you know? So these Reagan people, these right-wingers in general, these crypto-fascists, they're against homosexuality. They're against pornography. They're against sex education. They're against abortion. Yeah, they're going to get government off your back, but they're going to tell you how to live your sex life. And let me ask you this, how would they know anything about it? Have you ever taken a look at those people? No wonder they're afraid of their bodies. Take a look at them. Doesn't it strike you as mildly ironic that most of the people who are against abortion are people you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place?
Some of that we may agree with and some we may disagree with, but I agree with more than I disagree, that's for sure, and I'll see you tomorrow. Let's see, what is tomorrow? Oh, let's see. Tomorrow is Thursday. Almost forgot. I'll see you then.